Perspective with Midlands 103, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.
So following my cycle last week, my half marathon cycle, it's something anyways, this week was all about getting back to the running and I'm so excited by it. But before I do that, I have to pay a visit to Colleagan in Physio Central to get an assessment of how the calf muscle is doing. So I'm back in here with Cahill in Physio Central, and the hope is today that I'll get back out and about running, hopefully. Yes. So the calf muscle feels much better, Cahill. It feels much stronger. The back feels better, but I am getting a little bit of pain below the knee and towards the left-hand side. So is that usual or unusual to get?
It's not unusual to have some kind of pain elsewhere. They're saying the calves kind of insert around the back of the knee towards the inside. So we'll keep an eye on that for now, but I wouldn't be getting overly concerned. We will keep going with the plan and we'll kind of monitor that as we go. So today we're just going to reassess from last week, this day last week. So the stuff that was causing you trouble last week that I've written down there in the notes were your single leg calf raises, you were getting pain at 1, 2, 3 yeah. repetitions. You're quite tight on your stretching. And yeah, they're the main things we're going to look at.
So earlier I had my consultation with Colleagan and he's written down what I need to do. So I need to do 1 kilometre at 6 minutes per kilometre run, then rest for 2 minutes. And I have to do that 6 to 8 times. And I have to do this run twice this week. And as well as that, I have to do a 5 minute walk to warm up and a 5 minute walk to cool down. It's absolutely lashing raining out and I'm excited to get out because I haven't been able to get out on the roads for over a week, for 9 days. I haven't been able to run, so please God, the leg holds up. Please, please God, I will be a happy person if that happens. But right, in the meantime, let's go.
And where down we go?
No joy. Back to square one. My problem was where the calf muscle meets the knee at the back of your leg. And just a little presence, something there. And I ran the kilometre, stopped, and I walked for 2 minutes. Attempted the next kilometre and didn't get that far. No, the pain just increased and increased and increased. So I walked for another little bit and said, I'll keep running, see how we go. And then the pain in the calf muscle came back. I am actually on the floor in terms of confidence, motivation. It's just so deflating. Absolutely deflating. I'm doubting myself, I'm doubting this whole program, I'm doubting if I'll even make it to the half marathon at this stage. It's just, it's just really, really, really frustrating. So if you're out and about during the week and you've seen some guy dressed like he should be running, but he was walking with his head hanging in shame, that was me. I just have no motivation, to be honest with you. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
I
was really, really despondent by the whole thing, but all you can do is chin up, head up, and keep going. So that's exactly what I did, and I hit the gym after that. Back in the gym, and I did about just under an hour of cardio, and I started on some core workouts, muscle workouts. So I'm just trying to go about everything the right way, and I feel good. I feel a little bit more optimistic than yesterday. Definitely. Yesterday, I had a feeling like I don't know if I'm actually going to do this? Am I actually going to get through this? Am I going to make an idiot of myself? But now today, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I enjoy my level of fitness in the gym. It's very, very good. You know, the only thing holding me back, obviously, is the injury. But I just have to find a way around. I have to keep going. I have to stay positive. And it's no more thinking of if I cross the finish line. It's when I cross the finish line. That's what I'm working towards. And I just have to stay focused on that. Simple as. And keep it going. As part of this Get Active journey, I want to dig into the minds of people who run marathons on a regular basis, why they do it, how they do it, what's involved. And I was delighted to be able to chat with Shane Dunphy. Shane is from Tullamore. So Shane, you're not only a marathon runner, you're an ultra marathon runner.
Yeah, I've done 5 ultras, Peter. It's a whole different discipline of training.
What is an ultra marathon?
Technically anything over 26.2 miles. Is an ultra. Generally they're in around 30 miles, 32 miles and that, but 30 would be standard. The thing I found when I was doing it first was when I hit the marathon distance, then I said, right, what way is the head going to be and the body going to be? But the body will keep going. It's your head is what you have to get over.
Your head will always tell you to stop.
Your head will just want to stop.
Yeah.
And I got to the stage where the head was just saying, right, if we're doing this, we're doing this. And you listen to all these little voices that are telling you you need to stop, you have to ignore them.
Right.
And again, I've been at it a while, but every little bit of information I've got off runners that have vast years of experience, you would take it in. And you'll find as the years go on, you're actually doing what they taught you to do. You're using that little bit of knowledge. Like the one about running and mix it up with the grass and the road. Don't be constantly road running. Mix it up, cross country. Down with the canal and the grass fields, things like that. But the ultra is a hell of a feeling finishing one, I tell you.
Wow. What's the furthest distance you've ever done?
100K. The Tralee 100K ultra.
100K in one?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You had 15 hours to finish it.
15
or
hours.
Or they took you off the course. So you had checkpoints each section. So you start off at 6 in the morning. And I had a crew with me. I had my wife Brenda with me and another runner that has ran marathons, but he wants to do this the year after himself. So he said, I'll go along and see what this is like. So they're constantly driving along behind you, feeding you, basically.
Right.
Is what it is. You have your route, you have different checkpoints to get to. So you have to be at one checkpoint, say, after an hour. And if you're not, they'll be okay about it. But if you miss 2 checkpoints, they can take you off the course. So if you're 4 or 5 minutes behind when you hit your second checkpoint, you're going to get further and further behind by the third one,
right,
the fourth one. And next thing, you're not going to make it.
So you have to reach certain points in order to stay in the race.
Yeah, at certain times.
Wow.
Yeah. So you'll have a checkpoint. So you'll know from your training and the layout of the course, right, I need to be at checkpoint 1, maybe in 45 minutes. The next one then maybe in 2.5 hour mark. Things like this. But they can take you off if you miss them. A relief car will just come along and just say, in you go, you're DNF, did not finish.
Wow.
Yeah. And as the race goes on, you're coming back around, you're seeing all the runners again. And sometimes the course is getting really depleted.
And how many would start?
I think there was about 40 went to post for the 100K.
And how many finished?
And I think a little over half of them finished, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're seeing groups of runners, and then you're seeing that group is less and less the next time you see them.
Yeah.
And then you realise a number of them didn't make it.
Wow. Yeah. So 100 kilometres. Take me through your typical training schedule for an ultramarathon like that.
I was kind of doing nearly a marathon a week at that stage. I was doing no running in between. So I'd run a marathon of a Saturday or a Sunday and do nothing for the week, a couple of light walks, and then race again on the Saturday or the Sunday. And I did 2 back-to-back marathons within that. So you run a marathon on the Saturday, you run a marathon on the Sunday.
My goodness.
Yeah, and then you might do one again in a fortnight's time. But just before Tralee, I did 5 marathons in the month of August. So you were doing, I did 2 1 weekend, 2 in Offaly here, 1 in Road and 1 in Power Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a lovely course out there. But the only thing I really changed was to get time on my feet. I was dropping the time drastically. So instead of doing the marathon in 4.5 hours, you're looking at 6.5.
Okay.
To really just get the time on your feet.
Time on your... That's what I'm hearing from people time and time again. Get time on your feet.
Yeah. And then I was running with the backpack with small supplies of food in it to see, am I able to take small bits of food on while I'm running? It's hard.
So do you have to train to eat while you're running as well and drink while you're running?
Well, you can drink, but normally when you're eating, you'll take an energy bar and you'll jog on.
Mm.
But say when we're eating, say like pastas and tunas and things like this, you're literally stopping. Brenda used to hand it out to me in the car, and I'm with a couple of other runners. You're eating a couple of spoonfuls of it. You'll walk that distance and then you'll take off again, because the back of your mind, you're conscious of the time.
Right, yeah.
And you have to be at the next checkpoint at such a time.
So when you to eat, you'll walk?
You'll walk for that little bit. You'll only take a couple of spoonfuls. You might be walking for 3 or 4 minutes at very most later. It won't be much more than that. Like one of the times we're coming to a big climb and we got our food, so we walked up the hill while we're eating, then handed across, ran down. That was the last food stop.
Right, okay.
And then you're inside the last 20 miles at that stage, so you're just... You have one more checkpoint to go and that's the finish.
Wow.
At that stage, yeah.
What's it like when you cross the finish line? What's the feeling like?
When you see everybody there and you're with the group of people you spent most of that day with, you're thinking, right, just get to the line. We just need to get to the line. But then it's like this feeling comes over you thinking, right, this is 100K we're about to cross the line on. And you stop, and once you stop, everything begins to hurt because you're not moving anymore.
I get you.
But then people are coming around, they're hugging you and high-fiving you and all this, and it's that little euphoria.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. But then you'd step back, and I just sat on the curb and I just said, I need a couple of minutes for myself.
Yeah.
And then you realise what you're after doing.
Wow.
Yeah. And amazing. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
What motivates you, Shane?
What? To do one marathon, it was purely a weight loss thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was your first marathon, was it?
It was the first one, yeah.
And where did you run that?
At Dublin.
Right.
Now, I was only planning on doing one. I said, I'd like to do one, see what one feels like. Because I had done, about a year earlier, the Portlaoise half marathon. And I thought I was going to die at the end of it. Because they had, and unfortunately, it wasn't ran anymore after that. They measured the route, and instead of doing 21k, we did 23.5k.
Right.
And you were only training for a half marathon.
Yeah.
So there was a load of runners struggling. But like, I think back, my wife was saying it to me one day. He said, like, you were outside the hotel doing your stretches and stuff like this, and he said, you were in none of the gear the other runners were in. Like, I came out of the sports aisle in Aldi, she says. Because I had nothing that you're supposed to have.
That sounds like me right now, actually.
I just wasn't really prepared, Peter, at all. I had gone, I suppose the longest distance I had gone was about 9 miles.
Right.
And I said, another thing you'll keep hearing is you'll find the last few mile on the day. You'll find it on the day.
Yeah.
And that's absolute, especially in a marathon. You'll find it on the day. So I ran the half marathon. It was a struggle. It was a bad race.
Right.
And I was in the showers and I was absolutely shattered, and I was getting out and I was getting dressed, and another runner said to me, one more of them now and you'll have a full. I'm just thinking at that moment, I said, I'll never want to do this again. But it changes. You'll get up and you'll go out again, and your distances, you'll say, I wonder, can I do one?
Mm.
Wonder, is it there to do one? And it is.
It's interesting you say that, because sometimes I punish myself when I'm out running, and let's say you get to a 10K marker and you go, only 3 more of these to go to do an actual marathon. And it makes me want to just stop and give up.
Does it?
Yeah.
But even little things like that, are setting yourself those little targets, are good. Like another one you probably heard yourself is go from post to post, go from telephone post to telephone post. You'll get rid of all that as well. You're at a good distance now and you'll go further and further, and next thing you'll realise you're up at the 20 mile mark.
Mm.
And you're thinking, right, there's a 10K left to finish this.
Yeah, you can see it.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
And especially you're doing a big city marathon, there's going to be loads and loads of people around. And it's the buzz of it, Peter.
Right.
There'd be such a buzz. All the city marathons are the same. Everybody comes out.
Right.
And I suppose looking for distractions for running is, like, you'll just keep smiling and keep chatting and read all the signs, because you'll see some bizarre signs.
Which means signs.
Yeah, people are holding up signs.
Oh, they'll make their own signs and bring them out.
Yeah. Now, up in Dublin, they did, and I'm sure it's the same in all the city marathons. But you'll have them, like, you'll have the comedians out at the mile too, saying, "Keep going, you're nearly there."
Right.
And
okay.
You're a mile in.
Yeah.
Things like this, and Chuck Norris never ran a marathon, and you run better than the government. But they make you giggle. They're good. Like,
brilliant.
They're good, and so. Read all those.
Right,
read
yeah.
all those signs. It's another distraction, and on the day, that's what you're looking for. You have your plan, but you're looking for little distractions to
yeah.
keep you going.
Lots of people have said to me, enjoy it, take it in. How do you enjoy it?
When it was said to me, first of all, and I'm thinking, I was constantly thinking back to the half marathon that I did, and I said, there was none of that I enjoyed. So how am I going to enjoy another one of those as well? But you have to allow yourself to do it. So you're out, when I was training, I used to say, right, you could have a really wet day, it could be really windy, the sun could be shining, you never know. But get yourself in the right mindset. So listen to music that'll lift you and different things like this. What I've done is, and I've done it several times, I do watch Chariots of Fire.
Okay.
It's the movie about the Olympic runners. Now,
yeah.
It's an old movie, but there's something uplifting in that. I find in it.
Yeah.
Little things like this. Even that music, even the theme music from that.
Yeah.
They're little things lift you. So on the day then, I do think back to all these little things. You're going to be with people, like you'll be with Chris, you could be with a group of people, there could be great laugh and chat going on. You might be sitting in that group saying nothing, but you're soaking it all in.
Yeah.
And it's little things like that get you through it.
Right.
So to enjoy it then is look around at where you're running. Like I said, read the signs. If you're bringing music, listen to the music. But you'll generally be in a group where there's a bit of chat going on.
Yeah.
A bit of crack going on. Especially when there's other runners that have been through the distance before.
I know what you mean, yeah.
You can allow yourself to enjoy it. And on the last couple of mile, that's where the real buzz is. Because they'll have the mat out and the streets will be packed and the roars of people. It's probably as close as we'll ever get to the Olympics.
Right,
but
yeah.
That fee, and then you'll see the clock and you'll see your time and you'll see the finish line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can picture it in front of me now,
actually.
It's
a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
And just going back to your own story, Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, you said your initial marathon was a weight loss.
Yeah. Oh, I was nearly 17 and a half stone, Peter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really unhealthy.
Right.
Like, I was nearly getting out of breath peeling an orange. I go up the stairs and you're panting and stuff like that. And I used to think it was all right, but it wasn't. So I used to start walking and different things like this, but none of that was working for me. So I started doing small. It was Brenda started doing it, actually, first. My wife, she started doing the Insanity in the gym. And she used to be getting up every morning and going to do that. I said, geez, I really kind of need to move on and do something here. And our daughter was really young at the time. So I said, I'll go out and I'll walk a little bit, jog a bit, walk a little bit, jog a bit. And next thing, the walking got less and less and the jogging got a little bit more.
Mm.
Next thing, you'd have 4 or 5K, ran without a walk. I said, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm sore and stiff, but that's natural.
Mm.
And then I just start going a little bit further, bit by bit. And I kind of kicked on from that.
Wow.
But it was when I began to enjoy it, I began to think, right, I have 4K done here, I need to stop. The head used to be telling me to stop now.
Yeah.
Pull up down here, stop. And I used to. But then, as I said, right, if I want to do this a little bit more, just ignore what the head is telling you. If your legs are not sore, if you're feeling okay, see, can you push through that little bit of discomfort?
Mm.
Now, I know there'll be experts that tell you when you feel that, stop.
Yeah.
But it's a great friend of mine, he's my neighbour that I've ran with, he said, the pain is weakness leaving the body. And it used to make no sense to me. He said, the pain is telling me to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so maybe I need to pack this in. Don't. Work through it. And the body will adapt. That's the one thing I've learned, Peter. The body adapts to anything.
Right.
Yeah. And that was the start of it. It got little by little. I started slowly building it up and up. And next thing, I was at 10 mile.
Mm.
And was just preparing for a half marathon. Yeah.
Brilliant. And you found a way. Obviously, there's not a pick on you looking at you now. You know, found the way it was falling off you.
The running helps.
That was
the only thing I've done. I've done diets. I've been to the gym. I did the walk. None of it works.
Mm.
But the running did.
Right.
The running
okay.
did, yeah. And then pulled away from the running. We used to be gone every weekend doing marathons, pretty much. And it was brilliant. Like, the people we met. Like, that was one of the highlights of the whole lot of the years we were running. The people you meet. All different walks of life. all with their own little stories of why they're running and different things like
absolutely.
This. But as our daughter was kind of getting older, like it wasn't fair to be gone every weekend with her because whole weekends were gone as well. So we pulled back a little bit. But when I pulled back, then I might have done a 5K once a month. It was, I said, right, it's going to slip back again.
Okay.
So then I started doing the hot yoga in town here. And that's changed everything again for me. Got me back running.
Really? Yeah. How or why?
Because when I went in, I said, right, it's not that I fell out of love with running. I just pulled back so much. It's like I wasn't bothered doing it.
Right.
So I'd go out and I'd do a 5K and then I mightn't do anything else running-wise for a month.
Mm.
And next thing you feel yourself getting sluggish and you'd be in a kind of a slump again. So through the mental health week at work, they had an offer on to try the hot yoga. So a couple of us that were working together went down and did it. And we went in and started off and it was really good.
Right.
I said, I might try this again. Kept going at it for a couple of weeks and I must have done it for a year and a half. And then I said, I might try an outrun again.
Mm.
And the legs just fell in love with running again.
Wow.
And that was it. And it was only thanks to the hot yoga got me back running. Yeah.
It's amazing because they do say that your muscle has great memory.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've obviously, you pound the pavements and you've packed a load of marathons in. So your muscles don't forget that. Your body doesn't forget that. And once you get back up and running again,
even when you were leaving it, like it was the first K might be a bit difficult to get through. You'll get through it. But with the yoga, I just found, right, geez, the muscles are doing anything I want.
Yeah.
Like there was no issues with injuries or anything like that. But like without it, I probably wouldn't have got back to where I am now with the run. Okay. Now, I'm not racing. I'm doing my own thing. I run 3 times a week. But I set myself a target 4 years ago to run 100 miles a month, every month.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing at the moment, and it's 3 times a week I go out.
So what's your distance then?
The longest one would be, I used to do a half marathon every weekend, but the knee was beginning to be a bit painful, so I pulled it back to 11 mile.
Right.
And then do a 10K of a Sunday and a 10K of a Tuesday. But now the knee seems to be improving again, so I'm kind of looking after with medication and stuff like this. So
right.
Like I'm no aches and pains. So I still keep the 11 mile for a Saturday morning and I do 7 mile of a Sunday and 7 of a Tuesday. So about a little under a marathon a week is what I'm running at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you mind me asking, Shane, does it become an obsession? Because I kind of find sometimes you're in a bit of a rut, not a rut, but you're in a mindset where you're nearly constantly thinking about, I have to do this and I have to train this and I have to eat this. And, you know, it consumes a lot of time.
It does.
You know, but is it an obsession?
It can be. Particularly training for a marathon, it can be.
Mm.
Because you know the distance that you have to do. You know what you have to do to get through it. So you're putting yourself kind of out of your comfort zone a little bit. Like you might be eating some stuff you mightn't have tried before because it's full of protein and nutrients and things like this. But as regards your training, yeah, you could find you're out of the house more because you're trying to get the miles in.
Yeah.
And you're trying to hit that, I suppose, that 20 mile mark before the race day. So you can become an obsession. Yeah. Mm. At the moment, I honestly, if I ran last night, if I was to miss a run now, even with the weather last night, I'd be really disappointed.
Right.
If I missed one, because I have a nice little routine going, a nice rhythm. I do it after work, the whole lot, and it suits me perfectly. But I would miss it if I stopped it now.
Yeah.
So there could be there definitely is an obsession about it, without question. Yeah.
Yeah, there is that kind of fear of missing out then. As well, you know, when you're thinking, I'm on a good run here or I'm building up nicely, and if you miss it, and I suppose, like, life happens. You know what I mean? You get sick, you get injured, you know, your wife or your husband gets sick or the kids get sick, and it kind of, the first thing that gets sacrificed is your exercise.
That's the very first thing, yeah.
You know.
Because you look at the bigger picture and it could be the least important of anything there.
Yeah.
So it will be put to decide. So yeah, it can, and then if one gets pushed or two gets pushed, the next thing you've missed 3 or 4 runs, and then it can play on your mind saying, right, I'm after missing serious miles here now.
Yeah.
Different things like this, yeah.
And I know we kind of, we worry about missing a run or missing a week or whatever, but what I have been told is, you know, you can probably miss a week or two.
Yeah.
And you should be okay, but it's after that is when it starts having an effect on your distance or your body.
The longest, I suppose, I went, I suppose, when I was injured was the 2 weeks. And after that, yeah, I was really itching to get back.
Mm.
Because you're thinking, right, if it goes another week, I'm going to have to go back nearly to the 5K start again.
Yeah.
Even though I had done the couple of marathons, but all I was doing at that stage while I was injured was stretches and strength and conditioning stuff just to build the muscle up.
Yeah.
But it was where I had the injury was really difficult to do anything with.
Right.
So you're doing, I was on a foam roller, I had the elastic band stretching, and the physio gave me a series of exercises to do. And I remember the World Cup was on. It was the World Cup in 2014. And I'd be lying on the ground doing the stretches and you'd go out to the kitchen and get a bottle of water and somebody would run past the window and you're just thinking, oh, I should be out there. This kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the injuries, you have to respect it as well when it comes. You put your body through it. It didn't take it. You have to let it heal and recover and you'll get going again.
You just hit the nail on the head there. It's a psychological blow when you're injured to see other people run.
Yeah, and you see loads of them.
I know, you see them everywhere. Yeah. You know, I kind of find now that since I started the training, anytime I'm driving and I see people run, I kind of look and go, fair play to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kind of looking at their stride and maybe their pace or whatever and you're going, very good.
You begin,
fair play to you, you're out and about. But you do, when you're injured, you kind of look at them and go, that should be me.
Should be me. Yeah. I was after doing my stretches, Peter, I went out to get a bottle of water and it was a lovely sunny day, it was during the summer.
Mm.
And a runner went straight past the window and the first thing thought, that I should be there. That should be me.
Yeah.
This little thing. But that's the mindset you're in then when you're running.
Yeah.
You want to get back out.
Talk to me about the psychology of injuries, because when you get an injury that sets you back, it can be a big kick in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes you can't see light at the end of the tunnel. You think, I'm injured, this is it, it's not going to get better, I've ruined the whole thing. How do you get over that?
You have to respect what their physio is telling you. So if you're told to let it heal for this length of time and you're being given exercises and stuff like that to do, just do what you're told to do. Then some days, when you're doing your exercise or in your recovery and things like this, you might feel like, right, bounce on it a little bit and see what it feels like, ice it and all things like this. And then try and, if you're out for a walk, maybe run from the pole to pole, just see what that feels like. But when you start feeling the little niggle, like sometimes you just want to stop, but sometimes that little niggle, you might be able to work through it.
Yeah.
Not all the time. But particularly with the calf muscle, it can be so painful.
There's a fine line between trying to work through a niggle and the start of an injury, isn't there? It's very hard to tell the difference.
As I experienced, I thought it was a niggle, what I got, and I kept pushing it and pushing it. And it became a full-blown injury.
Right.
If I had kept going, it could have finished me for good with it. But like that, the head was telling me, push through it, push through it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to just pull the reins a little bit and say, no, there's something serious here. So you just have to treat it. You have to look after it. Just whatever. It's hard because you want to be back out there running.
Yeah.
So you're trying to retrain yourself psychologically to say, look, I have to do this today. I have to do this the next day. And each step will get me closer to putting the runners on and going again.
And what do you do outside of actually running, Shane? Do you do maybe strength and conditioning? You were saying hot yoga you were doing. But what would you do outside running that would help?
Outside of it, really, I'm not doing anything else, really, Peter. It's like I kind of look after myself as best I can.
Mm.
When I'm not running, like work is active and physical enough. Where I'm working out in the distillery, it's, you know, it's physical work as well. So that's good exercise.
Mm.
And walking, that's pretty much it. Like I'm not doing the yoga. Like I'm not stretching like I used to be when I started off. Like I used to be really good at doing the stretches in the beginning when I was starting off, but I don't really. And now I just go out, I start off at nice, easy pace and slowly you're building it up and up and next thing you're in a good rhythm running then. But that all suits me. Like, and I've ran with guys that, you know, will take off really quick in the beginning and are able to maintain that pace. I couldn't.
Right.
It wasn't for me, and that's where the injury came.
Okay.
So I go out, I know the first K, keep it nice and easy, nice and slow, build yourself up, get the breathing right, and then you'll kick on. But as regards that else, no.
What would you say to yourself before, if you could go back and talk to yourself before you'd done the full marathon, what advice would you give yourself?
Don't let yourself slip back to where you were to get to where you are on this day. So I was standing in Dublin that morning before we started and thinking, right, the last year, all that running to get here.
Mm.
You're running away from what you were. You don't want to go back to where you were. You don't want to go back to being that feeling you had of going up the stairs or you're out of breath and things like this. And you thought you were okay, but you weren't. Your head was saying, ah, you're all right.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
Right.
You weren't. So it's that. I said, if I was to stand at that line again, it said, right, you've come this far in the year. Don't go there. Just look after yourself a little bit better.
I've been privy to a lot of information about marathons that I never knew before.
Right.
And one of them is, well, a couple of them. Number one, I was advised to walk up a hill because you'll probably run up a hill just as quick as you'd walk up a hill. And yeah. I was also told that you run further than your 42 kilometres for a marathon because they measure the inside of the road and they don't take account for running over towards the water tables or the water stations or dicing around people. On average, you'll run an extra 800 metres in a marathon.
And as, especially when you're starting off, there'll be thousands on the starting line.
Mm.
And you're trying to find the gap for yourself, not to trot on anybody, not to trip yourself up. So you're looking for little gaps where you can maybe go in there, stay there, and next thing you're gone to the other side of the road entirely. So yeah, you will run more than the 26.2 because you're zigzagging across the road, going for your water. But then you'll find a few miles, 7-8 mile in, like it's like the pack breaks up.
Okay.
You'll begin to see the road. And you'll, you'll see, because when you're looking down in the beginning, all you're seeing is the backs of people's runners or the back of their number or the top they're wearing. But it all splits up and breaks after a while and you'll see the actual road and then you know you're in a race.
So you could be just 6 mile running in a group of people. You could be at a concert, basically.
Yeah, it could be. And you're tiptoeing, you're saying, right, I want to get going here. So you're moving across the road, trying to find a little bit of space.
Yeah.
You can have a jog in even. You'll get up on a path. You'll try and run along the path, but then there'll be a steward or something there and he'll be pushing you back on.
Right, okay.
You have to watch for the cones and things like this, but it breaks up after a while.
Wow.
And that moment when you see the road and the road around, you think, right, now the race is on.
Wow. So that doesn't kick in for 6 miles.
A couple of miles.
Yeah.
A couple of miles, because just that path goes off altogether and after a while it does break up.
My God.
Because the real heavyweights will kick on and then you'll have the guys that are just there just to do the one and really enjoy it. They'll just hang around, but then you'll start feeling good and you'll say, let's move it on a little bit.
Yeah. Is there any plans for anything crazy in the future, Shane? Any more 100 kilometre runs?
No.
Or?
That definitely was a one-off.
Right.
To try it, just to see what it's for the discipline of a Peter to see what it was like.
Yeah.
But when you're in the night before you have a race induction and you get your pack the whole lot and you're going through the course with the race director and you see the checkpoints and then that reality hits you. Right, if I don't hit this point at such a time, I'm done.
Mm.
That's can be a bit overwhelming.
Right.
But again, you try and park it. You know yourself you've done the training. Like, I had 5 marathons in 4 weeks behind me at that stage. So I said, right, I have the miles done.
Mm.
I had done, the last marathon I had done was a week before. I did nothing the week of the 100K.
Yeah.
And then by the time it came, I was really looking forward to doing it. And it's crazy when you hear that, but I was it was dark that morning we started. I was standing with the other runners ready to go, thinking, yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what I can achieve here.
Yeah.
But again, when you hit your 26 mile, or I'd done a couple of ultras at that stage, you're thinking, right, now I'm really in uncharted territory altogether.
Mm.
But you have great runners around you. And that's key. If you're doing your marathon on the day and you're struggling, you'll have Chris with you, but you'll, Chris will carry you through it. If it's a struggle, just listen to what he's telling you. Because there'll be times it'll be hard, it'll be very hard,
yeah.
But you just keep going and you'll get through it.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Peter.
Thank you so much for coming in. You give me a lot of confidence here, and you've painted an incredible picture.
Very good.
For looking at the finish line, for the start and the finish, and everything in between.
Enjoying it, Peter.
Yeah.
If it's going to be the only one, it may not be. I hope it's not. You couldn't fall in love with this, but if it's the only one, soak in every minute of it, because you won't forget it.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
the plan.
Cherish that medal.
Hopefully I'll get there. Hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Thanks, Peter.
Shane,
thanks
so much.
I brought the marathon to the very last lap.
Just leaving the gym now. I feel really good. This week has just been ups and downs, my goodness. But I'm reluctant to say I feel good because I've been stung before. So I managed to do 40 minutes on the cross trainer, because the cross trainer, I figured, kind of emulates running more than anything, but just doesn't have you pounding the ground, obviously, but you're still moving your legs and your hips and your arms, so you're bending the knees as well. So I just thought I'd give that a whack, and I felt really, really good doing it. And my calf feels like it's had to get a nice little stretch. So I decided to go for a brisk kind of 7 kilometer an hour walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes, see how we go. And yeah, all good. So hopefully the work I'm putting in is really helping. In the last 24 hours, I've been wearing compression socks. I started taking a Churmic supplement for inflamed muscles. It's an anti-inflammatory, and I have an appointment with the online doctor later on. We'll see how that goes as well. And I just want to throw the kitchen sink at it. In fairness, colleague in Physio Central heard about what happened and he said come back into me, but just timing wise I can't get into him until next week. Hopefully by then I'll have turned a corner. Last night I got loads of ice from the freezer and I was putting ice directly on both calf muscles, trying to help the injury as well. I've been putting anti-inflammatory gel on my calf. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing, but I just want to make sure this is in the best possible shape, and I just want to get back out running again. I desperately want to get back out running again. As I'm saying this, I'm looking at two people running along here at a nice gentle pace, two young lads out going for a jog, and fair play to them, but I'm mad jealous. You know, I just want to get out there and run as well. I feel like I'm not running, I'm falling behind. So hopefully I can get back up again ASAP. So let's see how we go. Going to rest now. Tomorrow's Friday. Going to rest Friday. Going to rest Saturday. And I don't actually know what I'm going to do Sunday, but hopefully I'll be able to do something. Look, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, so I'm just in the kitchen. I have my gear on and I'm getting ready to run. I'm really, really excited about this because I haven't been able to run. I've just been in the gym for the week and we're going to try out the leg after our disappointment on Tuesday. It's feeling good, it's feeling strong, and I'm actually a little bit nervous. So we'll see how we go. Nope. No good. Got about, less than a kilometre into it. And same thing again. There's a click and pain. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And yeah, that's it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean,
If I can't run one, how the hell am I going to run 42? So annoying. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. At this moment in time, it's not good. Back to the drawing board. Back to square one again.
Yeah, the joys, the ups and downs of it all. But there you go. And that's what I said I'd do on Get Active with Midlands 103. I'll let you come along on the journey and you'll see what it's like, the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs. But you know something, it's all for a good cause. It's all for Barrystown Children's Charity. And we're looking for your donations. If you have anything you can give, we've all gotten paid in January. So if you have anything you can give, you can spare, it goes towards an absolutely incredible charity. They do great work for all the boys and girls all across the Midlands and all across the country as well. And what you experience going through marathon training is nothing compared to what they will have to go through and their families will have to go through. So that's why we want everybody in the Midlands to show your appreciation and give generously if you can. It would be great. Go on to midlands103.com and click on Get Active with Midlands 103. It'll take you to our iDonate page. And if you donate at least €10, you will be entered into a draw to win a signed Manchester United jersey. It was donated by the club themselves. So if you can, please, please, please donate. It would be absolutely brilliant. And don't forget, on our social media pages, you can find the link as well if you want to donate. It's at the top of our Facebook page. And just click on that and it'll take you to our iDonate link. So if you can donate, please do. It would be absolutely amazing. And we'll keep you up to date on all the progress here on Midlands 103 and the podcast section as well. And every Wednesday on Breakfast and on Midlands Today.
Get active with Midlands 183, powered by HearMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HearMed.ie.